Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Seth, I'll get into some evidence, some very clear evidence as to how ridiculous it is that the Texans are shopping, reportedly, according to John McClain, Jadeveon Clowney, for left tackle help. We'll get to that in just a second. We're surrounded by the enemy right now.
There's
a lot of Detroit people around here.
They're an NFC team that we don't play this year, right?
Yeah, I know.
We're not going to see them in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, but you keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
I see a lot of – I can't tell who are these – I want to ask somebody from the press, the Detroit press, if they have an offensive tackle that
maybe we don't know about. Oh, you're going to start negotiations?
Yeah, okay. I'll do that. Okay. I'll tamper like a mofo.
The reason –
Give me your offensive tackles. I'm ready. Tampering season is open.
That's
you
it,
guys
baby.
Got one?
Hashtag tampering season.
Yes.
Tampering SZN. But I guess they're all gathered around here. For those who haven't been out here before, Seth and I are underneath a tent at the Houston Methodist Training Center, right next to the field where practice is about to take place. But right next to the tent that we're under is sort of a boy in the plastic bubble thing going on over there,
yeah.
Air-conditioned tent right next door, where the coaches and players do their media sessions. Apparently, Matt Patricia, the head coach for the Lions, does his media session before practice. Which is a genius move if you're not very happy with your team because they don't have an opportunity to ask you questions after practice, and the attention span of the average human being right now isn't such that it retains for more than about 10 or 12 hours so that when they come here the next day, they're going to forget what they saw at practice.
Right,
today.
Plus he'll have good answers for whatever issues might have arisen. And
yeah.
Also, because look,
got a day to concoct his excuses.
A man after my own heart. Patricia's not the leanest dude on earth. When you're out here
the
heat, the last thing you want to do after practice is stand up and answer questions.
He's interacting
with
human beings,
right? So getting it done out of the way beforehand. I approve of this move by Matt Patricia.
Okay,
I know Matt Patricia got a little rough with the media last year and criticized their posture and whatnot.
Oh.
I feel like this might have been one of the things that he did to figure out, okay, how do I get in a better mood at press conferences? Maybe I'll do them before practice.
We can't do this because we're on the air. Maybe George, our engineer, will do it. Georgie, will you go in the tent there and ask Matt Patricia a question but have tremendously poor posture?
Yeah.
Will you do that
with
for
poor
us?
Posture.
George is shaking his head.
Looks slovenly. He doesn't
of
like
course.
That. He hates that.
Guys.
You do that? Take one for the team?
Yes.
All right, because Matt Patricia is the picture of great posture and sartorial splendor and all that stuff. All right, so quick prediction, Seth, before we get to this clowny stuff. What do you think Matt Patricia is going to be wearing today? Do you think he goes full-on hardo, long sleeves, long pants?
You know, I've noticed that with the Texans coaches. There's a trend. They like wearing they like wearing sweatshirts and long pants out here. Like, to, I guess, sweat it out or something.
I don't know.
Frankly, I think it's a poor decision. I think you're not at your best if you're overheating.
I'd wear a banana hammock out here if it were socially acceptable.
Yeah, you gotta make decisions out here. I don't think it's smart. I think Patricia doesn't need to just – he goes with a standard, sweatshirt with a pencil in his ear. And does he wear, the rubber – does he wear the rubberized sweatsuit?
I don't know. But remember, they practiced in his first season during the winter months last year. They practiced outside, and he wore shorts.
That's right.
So I think he's wearing long pants. I think he's an oppo guy. I think he's a guy who tries to show off, how tough he is by going with – shorts in the winter and the rubber suit in the summer.
You know what?
In Houston.
I'm going to vent on this retroactively. I heard way too much about the Detroit Lions practice habits last year, far past the point when it mattered.
Okay.
When there was all that drama about whether they should be practicing outside or not. I went old school hardo on it and supported Matt Patricia in that. I thought, hey, these are when you plant the seeds of toughness and just setting the expectations.
Yep.
It doesn't – because the argument everybody kept saying was, well, what's it really matter? Why does it matter? It matters because you're planting the seeds for this year. I support you, Matt Patricia.
Okay.
And that alone.
Okay. Do you want to go in and ask him about his practice habits? Do you need me to take over half the segment when he gets here?
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
No.
All right. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. So – we just had John McClain on, Seth, and I'm more nervous now than ever about how the balance of this offseason is going to play out. McClain thinks that the favorite is that Clowney will not be a Houston Texan when the season starts. Myself, and I'm curious, I just think it's going to be too difficult for them to make a trade where there's even a remote that where there's even a remote rationalization that they made the team better.
You got to give him up for a first rounder. Like, the only acceptable scenario is if you give him up for a first rounder or Trent Williams.
Yep.
And it's just right now sitting here, it's this is the problem. Daryl Morey, for everything that he's pulled off, what happens every single year? You know, Mike and I used to argue about it because Mike loved Daryl Morey, and yet he couldn't envision how is Daryl Morey going to get himself out of the Chris Paul scenario. How is Daryl Morey going to, you know, pull off some of these moves? And yet he somehow pulls it off. Right now, we're sitting here with the Texans looking at a scenario where it doesn't almost even look possible to get rid of Clowney for the right compensation. And we don't have Daryl Morey as a GM. We've got Bill O'Brien as a GM, and he refuses to call himself a GM. Nobody wants to call him the GM. I'll give credit. I'm going to give McClain a lot of credit for being the one person that'll flat out come out and say, yeah, Bill O'Brien's the GM.
Yep.
But everybody else wants to run away from it. But all evidence points to Bill O'Brien being the GM, so we got to stop making jokes about the panel. It's Bill O'Brien.
Well, and the other thing, just to further your comparison, that was Daryl Morey's only job, was to get rid of Chris Paul's contract. Bill O'Brien has this little thing where he's got to coach a football team, coaches, go to film room, do all the things that he's been doing the last 5 years that come with being a head coach. And, oh, by the way, try to find a way. We say try to find a way out of this situation. I don't know that people want him to find a way out of Jadeveon Clowney right now. I think people want an upgrade at left tackle, but to me, it shouldn't involve Jadeveon Clowney.
This is what I worry about. It almost, sometimes when you've got all those things going on that you just mentioned, sometimes the easiest and simplest solution is to sell something, even though you know you shouldn't. He's at the point now where he might donate Jadeveon Clowney to Cars for Kids just because, like, oh, it's such a headache. I got this thing I can't get rid of. What am I going to do?
Write off the Clowney, not the kid.
He'll auction him off, and it'll be awesome. We'll be able to write it off. We'll give you a $50 Visa gift card, and you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you helped a young man go find a job at another football team.
$15.9 million is a big-ass write-off. That's a nice write-off. I feel like the accounting department for the Texans would be all hail Bill O'Brien. Now, the rest of the city would be in flames, but the accounting department would like it.
Look, and O'Brien's not one to run away from a problem, but there is that aspect to it of, I've got all this stuff on my plate. I'm a head coach. I'm an offensive coordinator. I'm a man about town, and also I'm a general manager. And boy, the simplest solution here seems to be I can get rid of all these Clowney headaches just by dealing them to somebody. But anything less than a first rounder is malfeasance.
Okay,
malfeasance.
Roster.
Am I using that word appropriately?
Yeah, okay. Malfeasance, malpractice, whatever, okay. Mal something. So Chris Jones, our producer, went and cobbled together some names that I think probably fit the level of tackle that could potentially be on the market in a Clowney deal.
Uh-huh.
Teams, if they're going to trade any sort of asset to the Texans, especially a player, because trading a player theoretically makes that team worse in 2019, although you're getting worse in that area. You get Clowney in return. But you have no promise that Clowney's going to be there beyond this year. So some teams may go, okay, well, we'll give you a replacement-level player for Clowney, you know, just for a rental. They have to view it as a rental.
That's got to come with a draft pick, though, too, right?
Possibly. But
it's got to.
Do any of these tackle names move Seth's needle?
Mm-hmm.
Deion Dawkins, Buffalo Bills.
No, my needle's moving in the wrong direction on that.
Vitai Hahuzi, what's his name, from Philadelphia?
God, no.
Yeah, he's below Julion Davenport.
Can we go back in time and redraft Andre Dillard? That's the one. That's the offensive tackle I'd be interested in from the Eagles.
Yeah, we can talk more about that because reportedly they wouldn't give up a third round pick, which right now is Kahale Waring. Laremy Tunsil
intrigues me, but I don't know why. It makes me immediately nervous that the Dolphins might be interested in letting go of Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly – Laremy Tunsil's in that boat where, okay, why would a team relinquish the rights to a young offensive tackle, especially when you're going to be drafting a young quarterback at some point here? It doesn't make any sense other than that whatever issues O'Brien has with Jadeveon Clowney, I'm guessing he would have the same issues with Laremy Tunsil.
Well, I think it's a great point. I think it's ironic that if they were to move Clowney, especially for pennies on the dollar, that it would have to be because of something other than money. It would have to be because of something behind the scenes. So the irony of them trading Clowney for the guy who got caught on draft night with a video the weed gas mask on would be delicious.
It's important to point out, Clowney's never been dumb enough to let somebody film him smoking out of a gas mask.
As far as we know.
I don't know what he's done with bongs or anything. I don't care what any of these guys have done with bongs. But he's never been dumb enough to allow somebody to film him and then try to extort him with it.
If it is, he's a scary enough individual to make that person fear putting it on the
internet. That's true. Yeah.
Donovan Smith, Tampa Bay Bucks.
That's intriguing. He's not Clowney caliber though. Like that would have to come with. That would have to come with.
He was the 46th.
He
best
was the guy before they. No, but they also just gave him a new contract.
They
did they not. Yeah. So there's.
I think
not,
he was a Penn State
so
guy.
So yeah,
too.
He's not even. I don't think that he's even up for discussion, especially when they're trying to figure out. This is the problem when you start getting into the area of guys that are actually up for discussion.
Yeah.
Why would that team? Why would that team trade a left tackle or a right tackle?
Eric Fisher, Chiefs.
Oh, screw him! No.
And I don't. I think the Chiefs are probably in a mode where they're like, man, we're. First of all, they're probably pushed up against the cap with all the contract. You know, they gave the Frank Clark contract.
Didn't Eric Fisher jump on JJ after he was injured?
He
was
did.
That Eric Fisher, or was that somebody else?
No, that was the. That was the. Yes, he did in the playoff game in 2015. He did the game
he
where
pounced,
when JJ got hurt.
He pulled the Giacomini. He tried to be tough after
the play that ended JJ's 2015 season. Lael Collins, Dallas Cowboys.
I keep seeing that name mentioned, and I'm just wondering why would the Cowboys let him go?
I wonder how the Cowboys would fit Jadeveon Clowney under a cap where there's like six other guys they're trying to fit.
You know, and the Cowboys have a bunch of cap space next year, but obviously a lot of that's going to be sapped up when they re-sign these three guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've got enough other guys behind Lael Collins. Somebody, a Cowboys fan, fill me in on this because I don't know why Lael keeps getting mentioned in this, like the Cowboys would be willing to deal him.
Seth, the fact that you and I are in the middle of a segment right now where we are rationally discussing Jadeveon Clowney being moved late in training camp for maybe not these exact names, but names that are this ilk of offensive tackle – is mind-blowing to me. And I'm telling you right now that if the Texans trade Jadeveon Clowney sometime in the next couple weeks for a guy who's barely an upgrade at left tackle.
And it's just a straight-up trade, no draft compensation or
anything? There will be a mutiny. There will be a mutiny among the fan base. And I would imagine that in that locker room that – you tell me, you're a former player. What do you think the locker room's saying if they trade Clowney for a guy who's barely an upgrade over Matt Khalil?
It's one of these things where you roll your eyes at a lot of stuff management does. It's never like – it's never Dallas Keuchel level, I think, of where somebody's going to come out and criticize the GM. But, like, there's always second-guessing of the GM on a team. Even when things are going well, there's questions about moves. I remember when they got rid of Aaron Glenn. I wasn't happy about that at all. We went on to go 2-14. Oh, crap. if that's any indicator, when they let go of Aaron Glenn and replace him with Phillip Buchanan, a lot of guys on the team kind of were looking at each other like, well, damn. Jeez, AG, wow, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And that didn't end up being a good move, like in the short term or the long term, in my opinion.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.